National News.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA's Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Thank you for joining us today. I'm stepping in for Sunny Young. We have a great show ahead for you, starting with some stories making headlines in the world of soccer. Lionel Messi's new club, Paris Saint-Germain, will play Manchester City, a club managed by former Barcelona coach Pep Guardiola. The two were drawn together in the Champions League Group A. And it looks like Real Madrid is not giving up on Kylian Mbappe. The team has increased their offer to sign 22-year-old World Cup winner and Paris Saint-Germain forward to 180 million euros. That is after their initial bid of 160 million euros was rejected. And let's go to the continent. In Africa, the biggest sports story is playing out in Kigali, Rwanda. Basketball heavyweights from around the continent are battling it out in the Afro Basketball Tournament. Hosts Rwanda defeated Angola, a basketball powerhouse on the continent. And so this makes Rwanda one of the teams to watch in this tournament. Meanwhile, Cameroon national team had to sit out and forfeit their game with South Sudan after five members of the Cameroon team tested positive for COVID-19. Cameroon is in the same group as Uganda. Both teams faced off today, with Uganda winning 80-66. Last week, the Ugandan team, known as the Silverbacks, were able to make it to Kigali. The team, which faced financial troubles, were bailed out at the last minute in a dramatic story that was trending on social media. Remember, we covered that story right here on Sunny Side of Sports. The team finally made it to Kigali, where team assistant manager Grace Muguli joins me via phone. I asked Grace if all that drama would affect their team's morale and ability to effectively compete for the trophy.
The story of the Silverbacks is really one of resilience, and quite frankly, getting to where we're coaching is because of resilience. And then the trip to come here, the trip before then to get to Morocco, is all about resilience, a belief in this game, in what it does for so many kids in Uganda, and just showing its use to the powers that be. Thankfully, we have gotten to a place where government's interested in the game and is giving us support, but it's not an easy job at all.
And how are you and the team doing after all this drama? Did it affect the morale of the players? I know you're in Kigali right now preparing to play your second game. We'll talk about the first game, but how is the morale like?
The morale is never in question. Of course, we don't get the type of preparation that we want, and without sounding like I'm making excuses, one of the reasons why, you know, the results that you said we'll talk about is going to be as it was, is because you don't get enough time to prepare as well as you want. We're quite an organized bunch, but, you know, it's based on finance. And sometimes when that's not timed the way you want it, you have trouble getting as ready as you'd like to be.
Now, does this lack of resources, and I did ask somebody last week when I was covering this story, whether Uganda was, the Silverbacks were entering this tournament as the underdogs based on the lack of resources. Does it make you guys an underdog? Is this an underdog story as you're entering this tournament?
Of course, absolutely. It does. Sports, there's method to sport. It's not just luck. You have to, talent is one thing, but you need to prepare, and the lack of preparation will show. However, having said that, it also drives us that we come in as underdogs for nearly every game, every tournament that we've been to. We're now ranked number 13. Our last trip, we went to Morocco with similar hardships financially, and Morocco is ranked number 8, and we managed to get our second win on them at their home. So there's some good things there.
So it's an underdog story that we see in the movies, where the guy who has the least
tries the most?
Yes, and I hope it will show at the end of these 9 or 10 days.
So who are you playing? Who is in your group?
So we're grouped with Senegal. We have Cameroon and South Sudan.
Senegal is a power, used to be, I don't know what its ranking is on the continent, but it used to be one of the powerhouses on the continent. You played your first game this week. How was it?
Oh, we played against Senegal. They, in my opinion, they are it's between them, Senegal, Tunisia, Egypt, and if our plan goes well, ourselves. We took a beating yesterday. It showed our lack of preparation, showed our game plan went out the window. Our style of play was affected. But thankfully, because it's a tournament, we have another two games to go in which we expect to rectify and get the win to reach the quarterfinals.
Of all those teams, which ones are you less worried about? Is it Cameroon? Is it South Sudan?
We're worried about both of them, but we like our chances against them. Our style of play, our speed, our defense, the things that we believe in as a unit, at our disposal, and we expect to use them against those two teams.
Well, what did Senegal do to beat you with such a margin?
Senegal is one of the elite countries in. Uganda. I mean, the NBA put an academy in Senegal because it's a nice feeder country. Everyone who their point guard is 6'5 or 6'6. Our center is 6'7. So it goes to show you the type of hardware that they have. But also they have found a good balance. I think this is the best balanced team I've seen them have, or the second best. The last one that they had that was this balanced also went on to win the AfroBasket. So I expect that they go deep into this tournament.
How are you changing strategy? It doesn't sound that you're fully given up on trying to compete. Well, what is your strategy going forward? How do you
so the way? So they're a good team, but they're also beatable. We can beat them, and our expectation as we come into this tournament. Yes, I know everybody gives you positive vibes as the manager, but the things that we don't have that they have, we can flip to use what we have that they don't. So our plan is we have two games left. We should win. Should you win one and win the way we want to win, we put ourselves into the top three positions, which means we go into a quarterfinal playoff. We expect to win there and then proceed to the semifinals.
In case you're just joining us, this is the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi stepping in for Sunny Young. On the phone with me is Grace Muguli, assistant manager of the Ugandan basketball team, the Silverbacks, currently in Kigali, Rwanda.
Regionally, how are the Silverbacks ranked compared to teams like Kenya, Tanzania, or Rwanda?
We're the highest ranked of all of them now. In this region. So the likes of Rwanda, Tanzania, Kenya, Somalia, South Sudan, we're higher ranked than they are. So, and there's a reason for it. It's these are results that are aggregated over a couple of games and show the progress that we have made.
Aggressor, before I leave you, I wanted to ask you to give us a little assessment of the level of basketball on the continent. In the last couple of years, we've seen a lot of investment in the sport. What are the dividends in terms of the skills and talent coming from the continent going forward?
It's quite obvious. You see, the Silverbacks, for instance, this is our third consecutive qualification to AfroBasket. And when we made our first qualification, there were teams that had almost permanent real estate in the top 16 of Africa. But that's been shaken up.
Mm. The Angola, Rwanda, the Egypt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Rwanda beat Congo. Congo has several players in the NBA. Cape Verde today lost to the same Congo. We in the last AfroBasket, many teams have paid attention to the sport, are investing in it. There's youth channels now, so we are not just bringing 30-year-old men to play. And those where they fail in one tournament, they learn for the next. And I'm excited that we are part of that.
Right. And, you know, speaking of investment, obviously, we can see that there's a gap here where, whereas most countries are investing in their teams, in their basketball teams, you know, the Silverbacks were struggling for funding. How do you get your government to be interested in funding this game?
So you see, we just have to keep doing it. We just have to keep coming for this type of tournament, and then and that will get us places. You need to have a seat at the table for you to have a conversation. I mean, government of Uganda has supported us for the last 3 AfroBaskets. There are hiccups, you know, it can be done better, but the support still comes. Before we went for our first one, there was absolutely no one who understood what AfroBasket is. But today, you know that everybody knows about the Silverbacks. We used to say the Uganda Cranes of basketball. I'm grateful how
but now everybody knows who the Silverbacks are.
Exactly. So it's a progress, not perfection.
Right. And okay, so what is your prediction for your next game? Who are you playing?
We're playing Cameroon. They've been here before. Cameroon has a couple of NBA players, and that's the measure of your quality as a country. It'll be a difficult game, but I expect that we shall win it. We have to win it.
So both of you will be playing catch up, and that is going to be a very interesting game to watch.
Absolutely.
That was Grace Muguli in Kigali, Rwanda. Grace is on the leadership team of the Silverbacks, the Uganda Silverbacks, currently in Kigali, Rwanda.
Hello, sports fans. This is Paul Tergat, marathon champion from Kenya. You are listening to the Sony Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's go to Abuja, Nigeria, where Samson Omali joins us with the latest wrap of Africa sports action. Samson will begin with the 2021 CAF Women's Champions League qualifiers in Nairobi. Sporty Friday greetings to you, Samson.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Jackson. We begin the wrap of African sports action for this weekend with the 2021 CAF Women's Champions League. The Council of East and Central Africa Football Association, popularly called CECAFA Regional Qualifiers, gets underway this Saturday, the 28th of August. The qualifiers of the inaugural edition of the CAF Women's Champions League will take place in Nairobi, Kenya, with 8 teams from the CECAFA region taking part. The 8 teams include Simba Queens from Tanzania, Lady Doors of Uganda, PVP FC of Burundi, and FADFC of Djibouti, who are all placed in Group A, while Kenya's Vihiga Queens FC, Commercial Banks of Ethiopia, Ye Joint Stars of South Sudan, and New Generations of Zanzibar are placed in Group B. Winnie Ayikoro, the Ye Joint Stars captain of the South Sudanese club, said they are not just in Kenya to represent the club, but the country of South Sudan.
To put more effort to prepare the team ready for the competition. I'm confident. I'm ready to face any team that comes in front of me. Because we are not just here to represent the club only, but we came into the national level. We are here to represent South Sudan.
The champions will represent the CECAFA region at the final tournament later this year in Cairo, Egypt. In Rwanda, the 2021-2022 Rwanda Women Football League season for both the top flight and second divisions will commence on November the 1st and run through April the 2nd, 2022. The football governing body, FEWAFA, has announced. The development comes after various sporting activities, including football, were given green light by the Ministry of Sports to resume. The federation initially informed the women football clubs that the league season will resume on July 31st, but later reconsidered the decision following a new spike in COVID-19 cases, which saw Kigali City and 8 districts placed under lockdown as a result. Staying with women's football, 11-time African Women Cup of Nations winners Nigeria must negotiate their way past Morocco and Mali in Group A if they hope to make it to the semi-finals of the first edition of the Aisha Buhari Cup. The competition, slated for September, is organized in honor of Nigeria's First Lady, Aisha Buhari, and it will be a week-long event in Lagos.
Randy Waldrum, Super Falcons coach, is very excited over the prospect of getting his girls come together again after their poor showing at the U.S. Summer Series tournament in June, where they lost to Jamaica and USA and drew 3-3 with Portugal.
You know, I'm just really excited that we have the opportunity to get our team back together again with more preparation. I look forward to that, seeing all the players. Of course, we're excited about the tournament. It's hosting six of the top African nations. The competition's going to be fantastic. It'll be great preparation for our team. And we know it's going to be a difficult tournament. I think the fans also could get really excited about the quality of the teams in the tournament and get the opportunity to see them right in their own backyard there in Lagos. So I know everyone is extremely excited about this opportunity.
And to men's football, top officials of the Nigerian Football Federation have said that they are exploring several possibilities, including a postponement of a change of venue for a 2022 World Cup qualifier against Cape Verde next month. The Super Eagles could be without as many as 10 players for the September 7th game in Cape Verde after Premier League clubs announced they will not allow their players to play in red-listed countries like Cape Verde as it concerns the coronavirus protocol in the UK. Ghana Royals' biggest selection headache caused by the decision of the Premier League clubs to stop players from red list countries like Cape Verde will be who to deputize for his preferred defensive midfielders that include the likes of Wilfred Ndidi, who plays for Leicester City, and Ogenekaro Etabo, who plays for Watford.
And the clubs now are telling us we cannot give you the players because when they come back to UK, we cannot use them for 10 days. They have to go to quarantine. So we are fighting actually with FIFA and with English Football Association to have the players. So it's a very big problem. We are in this stress, actually, to fight, to have. We have 8 players from our list, actually, who are playing in UK, in England or in Scotland. So it's not easy to do our job in the moment.
Staying with World Cup qualifiers on the African continent, in Kenya, Harambee Stars players have reported to camp ahead of their 2022 World Cup qualifier against Uganda on September the 2nd at the Nyayo National Stadium in Nairobi. Those who are in camp are mostly locally based players, while foreign-based players are set to start checking into the camp from Monday, August the 30th. One of the locally based players in camp is defender Eugene Asike, who plays for Tusker Football Club of Kenya.
It's just a matter of staying focused, doing the basics right, and being positive, and also looking forward to learn from my teammates, to learn also from the technical bench.
In cricket news, Ugandan Lady Cricket Cranes contingent has entered a training bubble at the Lugogo Cricket Oval ahead of the World Cup qualifiers that will take place in Botswana next month. The World Cup qualifiers is scheduled for September the 7th to the 20th in Gaborone, Botswana. Uganda will compete against 10 other nations for the crown of African queens, a feat they were able to achieve in 2017 in Namibia. Ugandan Lady Cricket Cranes head coach Suraj Karadvadra says the team is now training as a unit, unlike before when players worked in small groups.
So the selection is obviously, we've gone from a bit of a very, very young squad. A lot of these younger players are very flamboyant. They express themselves very, very well. The 14 that has been selected, we believe that it's the strongest team that we probably had for a very, very long time. Obviously, unfortunately, with what's been going on, we've not been able to play any sort of form of international cricket against any other nations. But we believe that, you know, with the preparation that we've got, that we've had, the 14 that we've selected is definitely the best. We've got a mixture of some very, very fast bowlers to a lot of spin bowlers and stuff like that. We've got a very deep batting lineup as well.
Staying in Uganda, Ugandan Rugby Union on Thursday afternoon summoned 26 players to begin preparations for the 2022 African Men's Sevens Tournament. The annual continental tournament, which will double as a qualifier for the Commonwealth Games and Rugby Sevens World Cup, is slated for early next year in the hosting country, yet to be determined. The Uganda Rugby Sevens team intend to not only qualify for these games, but also to win the tournament and to continue scaling heights both continentally and internationally. In athletics, double Olympic marathon champion Eliud Kipchoge has set his sight on becoming a world peace envoy once he decides to end his glittering career, but still plans on running for years to come. The 36-year-old Kenyan became just the third man in history to win back-to-back Olympic gold medals over 26.2 miles earlier this month when he beat the field by 80 seconds on a hot and humid course in Sapporo, Japan during the 2020 Olympic Games. Kipchoge is currently taking a break from competing and will decide on his plan for next year within the next 2 months, but will not confirm whether he intends to go for an unprecedented hat-trick of Olympic gold medals at Paris 2024.
I've tried my best to actually from the small village to the whole world. And I even also all those children who don't have the parents or who actually have one parent to be like me, to actually treat themselves as second class. Always, because all the children actually are the same. All children actually have the same thinking, and that's what I value. I don't want anybody actually to be underrated the way we received when we were young.
And now to the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games. It's day 4 of the Games, but an African is making history as the Games' youngest Paralympian. 14-year-old Ugandan swimmer Husna Kukundakwi competed on Thursday morning in the 100 meters breaststroke in the SB8 category, achieving a personal best of 1 minute 34.35 seconds. And as the youngest Paralympian competing in Tokyo, announced herself as a rising star of the future. Kukundakwi, who was born without her right forearm and has an impairment to her left hand, did not make the final, but says she felt she could touch the clouds after a personal best time. She says she wants to change attitudes towards people with disabilities in Uganda.
I really did become more confident because before I started sports, I would always wear a sweater or a long sleeve shirt to always hide my hands and maybe put my hands in the pockets so that no one could see my fingers. So when I joined sport, in swimming, you kind of don't have to wear anything, just a swimsuit. And so I got used to being like that. I started realizing that I don't care what other people see or what other people think I am because of who I look like. So I just kind of grew into it, started being myself. People at school started to accept me.
And finally, in basketball news, the highly anticipated FIBA AfroBasket 2021 got underway in Kigali on Tuesday. 16 national teams from across Africa are slogging it out for the right to be crowned the continent champions. Day 3 of FIBA AfroBasket 2021 was fun, as all 4 games were decided by a total of 14 points. Rwanda, the host nation who edged the Democratic Republic of Congo 82-68 on Tuesday, came from a 6-point deficit, 61-55, to overcome 11-time African champions Angola 71-68 in Group A. And that's it from me. It's back to you, Jackson.
Thank you, Samson, and have a great week ahead.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're listening to the Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Bunganyi. Uganda Cranes coach Moletin Sladovich-Micho, fresh from a second appointment to manage Uganda's senior football team, says that he's doing everything possible to hone the skills of the Cranes ahead of their match against neighbors Kenya Harambee Stars in their first group match in the 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. But some sports analysts say that it won't be an easy encounter for him and the Cranes. Reporter Mugume Davis Wakarinji has more from Kampala, Uganda. Sporty greetings to you, Dev.
Sporty Friday greetings to you, Jackson, and our listeners. Uganda Cranes coach Miroslav Sladovich-Micho initially arranged a couple of friendlies in preparation for the back-to-back games against neighbors Kenya and Mali early next month in the Qatar 2022 FIFA World Cup qualifiers. Most of these friendlies were cancelled due to the COVID-19 restrictions, save for this weekend against Ethiopia in Addis Ababa. Micho says there will be no margin for error, especially in their first away game against Kenya's Harambee Stars.
We are preparing with attention to the deepest possible detail towards the match against Kenya, fully aware that our neighbors, they have ambitions same like us. They see us that we are their chance. We see them as our chance. And we wish that in a clash of East African never-ending derby between Uganda and Kenya, or Kenya and Uganda, we really prove who is the boss in the region.
The Uganda Cranes travel to Addis Ababa this Thursday with a squad comprising mainly of domestic players, including 5 Africa under 20 silver medalists who graduated the national team. Team captain, experienced winger Emmanuel Okwi, placed the level of discipline in what is the new Cranes setup after some senior players resigned, having failed to qualify for the AFCON finals.
It has been a positive start so far in the preparations, and I believe everyone has worked so hard, and whoever will be called upon, they are also ready to represent the nation and to get the most positive results ahead of us.
Speaking in colloquial Swahili, Kenyan midfielder Lawrence Juma, who plays for local club Sofapaka, says the Harambee Stars will use the home advantage to edge neighbors Uganda.
Training session imekuwa poa.
Training session has been great, although somehow tough. All players have shown that they are committed. What I can tell our fans is that this time we will be very focused. We are calling on fans to rally behind us and support us. We need it very much. This is a moment we need the most because it is our first World Cup qualifier. We will give it our best.
World Cup qualifiers, ndio tunaanza na we'll give our best.
Nderia Eburu, a Kenyan sports reporter, attended Harambee Stars training this Thursday and tells the Sunny Side of Sports that both players and coach Ghost Mule are ready for the Uganda Cranes when the two teams meet at Nyayo Stadium.
As a team, they are really pushing and they hope to get very good results in the match. This is a match that will actually act as a litmus test for head coach Ghost Mule, because when he was taking over to guide the team, his main project that he was actually given by the Football Kenya Federation, FKF, was actually guiding Kenya to reach or storm in the Qatar World Cup come 2022.
Uganda Cranes coach Mitchell says he's well aware of what awaits the Cranes.
We really need to stretch ourselves over all human and sport limits. We are playing against a very good team that is coming together with the coach from the campaign. They have improved so much in the last few matches, playing against Egypt at home 1-1 and winning away in Togo. And high-flying on the wings of confidence are coming against us. Ourselves disappointed that we cannot score in competitive games goal since South Sudan game in Chitende.
Mitchell says we'll use the friendly against Ethiopia to fine-tune his defense so they don't concede away goals. Clive Chaze, a Ugandan sports analyst, says to be interesting to see which team will come on top of Group E.
These are games that for some reason bring our world to a standstill football-wise. Yes, it's not Argentina versus Brazil, it's not England versus Germany or stuff like that, but in our own world, if you all remember the last time Kenya and Uganda played at this stage in the 2011 Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, that game at Nambole when Kenya denied Uganda a chance to qualify for the AFCON. If you all remember the 1-0 win for Rwanda at Nambole, that Jimmy Gatete goal that actually also dented Uganda's chances of qualifying, should have been for the 2004 Africa Cup of Nations. So these are games that cannot be equated to anything.
Chaza says matches in Group E, which has 3 East African countries, Uganda, Rwanda and Kenya, as well as West African Mali, will be thriving if fans were to be allowed in the stadia. For the Sunny Side of Sport, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji, Kampala, Uganda.
Thank you, Davis, and have a great weekend ahead. And that wraps up this August the 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm Jackson Vunganyi in Washington. Have a great weekend ahead, Africa.